There is a way a healthy man can pace himself so that he can jog for hours across flat land, especially on a low-gravity world like Sarita. Tomas Vach had that skill, but now he ran like a mad sprinter in sheer panic, his chest heaving, his legs burning. It was a minute or so before he thought to turn off the flashlight so the things could not follow its glow. It was much longer before he could work up the courage to look back. One of the things was following him. He did not think to stand and fight. He had seen it too clearly. It was a corpse, weeks dead. He thought of turning toward the city, but the city was a good distance away. And now he remembered that they locked the gates at night. The first time he had seen them do that, he had asked why, and a native policeman had told him of the nightwalkers. He had had to hear the story from other sources before he knew that he was not being played for a gullible outworlder. So he did not turn toward the city. He turned toward the rock that had been his refuge once before. The thing followed. It moved at a fast walk, but where Tomas Vach had to stop and rest with his hands on his knees to catch his breath before he ran on, the nightwalker never stopped at all. It was a distant shadow when he reached the rock, but his haste was such that he skinned his shoulders, working himself up the crack. The top of the rock was still warm from daylight. Vach lay on his back and felt the joy of breathing. The stars were clear and bright above him. There was no sound at all. But when his breathing quieted, he heard heavy, uneven footsteps. He looked over the edge of the rock. The nightwalker came wading through the mist in a wobbling shuffle. It walked like it was about to fall at every step, and its feet fell joltingly hard. Yet it came, fast. Its bulging eyes stared back into Vatch's flashlight. Why should a nightwalker care if it sprained its ankles at every step? It was dead. Dead and bloated. It still wore a soldier's kilt and green plaid, the sign of a commercial war now 2 weeks old. Above the broad belt, a slashed belly wound gaped wide. Vach examined the corpse with self-conscious care. The only way he knew to quell his panic was to put his mind to work. He searched for evidence that this nightwalker was not what it seemed, that it was something else, a native life form, say, with a gift for mimicry. It stood at the base of the rock, looking up with dull eyes and slack mouth. A walking dead man. There was more motion in the mist, and two lopers came lurching up to stand near the nightwalker. When Vach threw the light on them, they stared back, unblinking. Presently, Vach realized why. They too were dead. The policeman had told him that too, that nightwalkers could take the form of lopers and other things. He had believed very little of what he'd heard. And now he was trying frantically to remember details. They were not dangerous in daytime. Hadn't he heard that? Then if he could hold out here till morning, he would be safe. He could return to the city. But three more man-shapes were coming to join the first. And the first was clawing at the side of the rock, trying to find purchase for its fingers. It moved along the base, scraping at the rough side. It entered the crack. Three shadows came out of the mist to join their brother. One wore the familiar plaid kilt from the two-week-old battle. One wore a businessman's tunic. Its white hair had come away in patches, taking scalp with it. The third had been a small, slender woman, judging from her dress and her long yellow hair. They clawed at the rock. They began to spread out along the base. And Vach backed away from the edge and sat down. What the hell was this? Legends like this had been left behind on Earth. Dead men did not walk. Not without help. Ordinarily, they just lay there. What was different about Sarita? What kind of biology could fit? Vach shook his head violently. The question was nonsense. This was fantasy. And he was in it. Yet his mind clutched for explanations. Costumes? Suppose a group of Ceridians had something to hide out here. What? A group of four in dreadful costumes might hold off a whole city once the legend of the Nightwalker had been established. But the legend was a century old. Never mind, the legend could have come first. Anyone who came close enough to see the fraud could quietly disappear. Costumes and makeup? That gaping putrescent belly wound? Out of the crack in the rock came a fantasy arm. the bone showing through the forearm, the first joints missing on all of the ragged fingers. Vatch froze. Costume? The other arm came up, and then a dead, slack face. The smell reached him. Vatch unfroze very suddenly, snatched up his sword, and struck overhand. He split the skull to the chin. The Nightwalker was still trying to pull itself up. Vatch struck at the arms. He severed one elbow, then the other, and the Nightwalker dropped away without a cry. Vatch began to shudder. He couldn't stop the spasms. He could only wait until they passed. He was beginning to understand how the fantasy would end. When the horror became too great, when he could stand it no longer, he would leap screaming to the ground and try to kill them all, and his sword would not be enough. It was real. The dead forearms lay near his feet. Fantasy. Real. Wait. A fantasy was something that categorically could not happen. It was always a story. Always something that originated in a man's mind. Could he be starring in somebody's fantasy? This, a form of entertainment? Then it had Holovision beat hands down. But Vatch knew of no world that had the technology to create such a total experience entertainment, complete with what had to be Erzant's memories. No world had that, let alone backward Sarita. Wait. Was he really on Sarita? Was the date really 2731? Or was he living through some kind of gothic historical? Was he even Tomas Vatch, the Rammer? Rammer was a high-prestige career. Someone might well have paid for the illusion that he was a Rammer. And if he had, someone had gotten more than he bargained for. They'd pull him out of his total environment cubicle or theater in total catatonic withdrawal if Tomas Vatch didn't get a grip on himself. Wait, was that motion in the mist, off toward the battlefield, or more of his runaway imagination? But no, the mist was a curdling, swirling line aimed at his rock. That almost did it. He almost leapt from the rock and ran. If the city gates were closed, he'd run right up the walls. But he waited. In a minute, he'd know for sure, one way or the other. Within the crack, the one he had struck sat slumped with its head bowed, disconsolate or truly dead. The other three seemed to be accomplishing very little. The dead men from the battlefield streamed toward Vatch's place of refuge. They wore kilts of gray and amber, less than 100 of them, casualties in a war between two medium-sized companies, a war which would not have been fought at all if the cost could not be partially defrayed by Holovision rights. When they came close, Vatch began to recognize individuals. There was Irwin Mudd, whose stew he had stolen. There was Roy Tanner, the Luligorian, the Rammer, the medic. Death cancels all friendships. Enough. Forget about costumes, Tomas. Enough and too late. The Nightwalkers swarmed around the rock and began trying to climb. Vatch stood above the crack, sword ready. The sword was all he had. Hands came over the edge. He struck at them. He looked around in time to see more hands coming up everywhere around the perimeter. He yelled and circled madly, striking, striking. They were not climbing the rock itself. They were climbing over each other to reach the top. And his sword, its edge dulled by repeated blows against rock and bone, was turning into a club. Suddenly he stopped. Fantasy. Real? What kind of biology? He spilled his medical kit open and snatched at the bottle of Spectrum Cure. More than his life was at stake here. He was trying to save his sanity. The pistol grip fitted his hand neatly. A Nightwalker pulled itself over the edge and tottered toward him, and he sprayed Spectrum Cure between its eyes. An eroded face appeared near his feet. He sprayed Spectrum Cure into its mouth. Then he stepped back and watched. The first one dropped like a sack. The second let go and disappeared from view. Nightwalkers were coming up all around him. Vatch moved among them in calm haste, spraying life into them, and they stopped moving. In his mind, he gloated. It should have worked, and it had. For if anything in his experience was real, then it had to be caused by the biology of Sarita. So, something could infect the dead to make them move. Bacterium, fungus, virus, whatever it was, it had to have evolved by using dead lopers and other native life forms to spread itself. It could walk the infected corpse until there was no sugar or oxygen left in the blood or muscle tissue of the host. That alone could carry the disease farther than it could travel by itself. And if it found another host to infect along the way, well and good. But the first step in infection would be to restart the heart. It had to be, or the bacterium couldn't spread throughout the host. And if the heart was going... The spectrum cure seemed to be healing them right up. He'd cured about 8 of them. They lay at the base of the rock and did not move. Other nightwalkers clustered around them. For the moment, they had given up on Batch's rock. Batch watched some of them bend over the bodies of those he had injected. They might have been nibbling at the flesh above the hearts. A minute of that, and then they fell over and lay as dead as the others that they'd been trying to rescue. Good enough, thought Batch. He flashed the light on his bottle to check the supply of spectrum cure. It was just short of dead empty. Batch sighed. The horde of dead men had drawn away from the casualties. The dead, dead ones, and had gone back to trying to climb the rock. Some would make it. Batch picked up his sword. An afterthought. He injected himself. Even if they got to him, they would not rouse him from death before morning. The scrabbling of finger bones against rock became a cricket chorus. Batch stood looking down at them. Most of these had only been dead for hours. Their faces were intact, though slack. Batch looked for Roy Tanner. He circled the edge rapidly, striking occasionally at a reaching arm, but peering down anxiously. Where the blazes was Roy Tanner? There, pulling himself up over the lip of the crack. In fact, they were all swarming into the crack and climbing over each other. Their dead brains must be working to some extent. The smell of them was terrific. Batch breathed through his mouth, closed his imagination tight shut, and waited. The nightwalker remains of Roy Tanner pulled itself up on the rock. Batch sprayed it in the face, turned the body over in haste, and found it. Roy Tanner's medical kit, still intact. He spilled out the contents and snatched up Roy's bottle of spectrum cure. He sprayed it before him and then into the crack like an insecticide. He held his aim until they stopped moving. And then, finally, he could roll away from the choking smell. It was all right now. Roy had fallen early in the battle. His bottle had been nearly full. For something like 6 hours they had watched each other. Tomas Vach on the lip of the rock, 7 nightwalkers below. They stood in a half circle, well out of range of Vach's spray gun, and they stared unblinking into Vach's flashlight. Vach was dreadfully tired. He had circled the rock several times, leaping the crack twice on each pass. Cured corpses surrounded the base and half-filled the crack. He had seen none of them move. By now, he was sure, there were only these 7 left. "I want to sleep," he told them. "Can't you understand? I won. You lost. Go away. I want to sleep." He had been telling them this for some time. This time, it seemed that they heard. One by one, they turned and stumbled off in different directions. Vach watched, amazed, afraid to believe. Each nightwalker seemed to find a patch of level ground it liked. There it fell and did not move. Vach waited. The east was growing bright. It wasn't over yet, but it would be soon. With burning eyes, he watched for the obvious dead to move again. Red dawn touched the tips of glacier-spilled rocks. The orange dwarf sun made a cool light. He could almost look straight into it. He watched the shadows walk down the sides of the rocks to the ground. When the light touched the 7 bodies, they had become bright green patches, vaguely man-shaped. Vach watched until each patch had sprouted a bud of yellow in its center. Then he dropped to the ground and started walking north. That was Night on Miss Beckmore by Larry Niven. This story is copyright by Larry Niven. And this reading of this story is performance copyright 2001 by Hour 25 Productions. All rights reserved.